I had an excellent conversation this week concerning a topic that we've been going over for a while. And the reason why I've been pressing on this is because in certain ways we've been living in danger without knowing it. That topic we really see in Romans 3, where it says all are evil. Unfortunately, there are those who are evil. In other words, their main focus are themselves and to hurt others, okay? And as we're about to read, that's something that exists and those people are setting themselves up. But there is even a larger group of people who their intent is not to be evil, but unfortunately they're still going the wrong way. And if we don't pay close attention, we can allow our emotions to get in the way. We can feel bad because somebody keeps saying what we are instead of us checking and measure based on what they're saying, if that makes sense. It's easy for me to go, oh no, you're good, and make you feel better. And then me catering to your feelings could put you in an extreme danger. And this is the reason why we're going over this, because the emphasis on all are evil is not for me to feel bad about it. Okay, it's for me to recognize where I am so I can adjust where I need to be. That's why we're doing this order my steps when wrong doesn't seem wrong. Because we're not walking by how things seem. We're supposed to walk by what God says. Hopefully everybody gets that. Okay, very important that we grasp that. Now, if you notice on the page, one thing I want to stress, and you hear me say this many times, please don't mistake meaning well with being well. See, just because I mean well doesn't mean it's going to end up right. In fact, many, if not most, people in other religions other than Christianity truly mean well. They didn't join or get into another religion to be evil. However, if somehow they don't change out of that, they're headed for doom. Now, it's a choice they're making because they're going the wrong way. Even though they mean well, they're not being well. Hopefully, you grasp this. Now, watch what I wrote up top up here. I want you to grasp this first. It goes without saying that those who are evil with the purpose of being evil will receive what is well deserved. Okay, I think we'd all agree with that. Those whose focus is self, hurting others, they could care less, and they just want what they want, that greed, that whole entire thing. So that's an evil group that I think we all agree are evil. However, the Bible is warning those that are evil unintentionally. This is God's mercy pointing those who don't want to be evil in the path of righteousness by completely following Him. That's the key. And that's the key we're missing. That's why when we raise our children today, we start giving in to how they feel instead of based on the authority. The authority is so important because it guides you in the right way. That's why I have, they must follow his instruction. Now, only God is the full authority. Okay, the rest of us are placed in a place of authority at times, and we have to deal with that humbly and understand that we have to answer to an authority also. So before I start this study, I want to make sure I'm clear. To those who then think they're helping those that are unintentionally evil, and you do it abruptly, you do it without compassion, you do it emotionally, and you actually push them the wrong way, stop. Because you're causing more damage. One of the fruit of the spirit that every Christian must have is gentleness. So if you're one that's abrupt, stop right now. Please, please talk to me, okay? We'll show you what the word says about that because you're making matters worse, okay? That's for that group. Now, so for these that are evil unintentionally, means you're going the wrong way. Just because I mean to go somewhere, if I'm going in the wrong direction, until I turn and go the right direction, until I follow my GPS, I'm still going to go the wrong way, no matter how I mean. I don't care if I drive faster. I don't care if I do it different ways. I don't care if I go off my thought pattern. If I'm going the wrong way, I'm going the wrong way. So this is what we must do. First of all, stop feeling hurt when you hear God say you are something. Immediately erase that emotional thing. Get rid of that. When God says I'm something, that's his love to help me adjust from being that something. So if God says I'm evil, it means, Keith, you're going the wrong way. And the only way I'll know this is we must view this and all lessons using the only correct lens. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. The living by faith, okay, is very powerful and very important, and it stands alone. The not by sight is where most have been messing up, because you'll use some of the Bible along with how you see it. If you're being honest, there's a lot of stuff that the Bible says that we struggle with. So what we'll end up doing is distorting it, or we'll find somebody that'll distort it for us that we can follow them. And that's what Christianity has evolved into. There are things that are very clear in the Bible. We don't like it. We'll go find somebody who said, oh, you don't have to follow that because history said, or because we don't do that anymore. And we find they call themselves intellectuals. But the Bible never readjusted it. That's not faith. That's sight. And the not by sight is as important as the live by faith. Keep that in mind. So faith will be, is this what the Bible says? The answer is yes. And I'm talking about sound doctrine, not just a scripture. Okay, please be careful of that. Sound doctrine. Okay, and which I'm putting it together, and I don't add anything to it, even if I see or feel differently. We're going to talk about this, because choosing the wrong lens will guide going the wrong way. Okay, it'll guide you in the wrong direction. First of all, we are considered foolish if we use the wrong lens. This is another one of those times where God tells us what we are, and he shows us, if you're this, then you're a fool. Proverbs 12, verse 15 says, the way of a fool seems right to him, but a wise man listens to advice. Stop there for a minute. In many cases, we live our lives, and if I really think that I'm doing great, that's what I go by. What the Bible says then, I'm a fool. You get this? Okay? A wise man checks. When it says listens to advice, it means I'm going to now go and I want to make sure what I'm doing is in line with God, not what seems like it's in line. Y'all get this? This is why we're not to call people good for the most part, because we give them this impression based on how we see it, not on what God says. You see, how I see it is dangerously misleading. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man. But watch this. But in the end, it leads to death. Incredible. Because what he's showing us here is it's not what it looks like. It's how it's going to end up. Now, as we're going to see at the end of this, the way we can avoid the end, the final result. Once again, I could be driving thinking I'm going the right way. Years ago, me and my wife were taking a trip up north, and she fell asleep, I remember. We left at 1 a.m. because we couldn't sleep, and so we just started driving. And it was a long ride. It was going to be an 11-hour ride, so, you know, we said we start at 1 a.m. and we get there in the morning. I remember on that ride there, she woke up. We're looking around, and I'm like, I have not seen that exit that we're supposed to get off. And this is before GPS. And she was the map reader, and I just thought I'd stay on this one road for a long time, and it never showed up, only to show somewhere along the way I missed it. Now, for a long time, I felt, or it seemed, I was going the wrong way. If I would have never said anything, in the end, I don't know where we would have ended up. Y'all get this? But even more dangerously, it's saying in our lives, if we keep living by how things seem, our ending is going to be disastrous. Now, the right lens will guide and protect me. This is what Christians know. I want to see it through God, period. Proverbs 22, verse 3 says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Now, what he's saying here, a prudent man, and that means cautious, wise, checks it. So if I'm that way, I'm always filtering things through God. You don't know how many times I feel and I want to respond to something and I have to stop. And then I think through God, pray through God, and it makes me stop. And then it allows me to take refuge. I can act now based on what I just seen. Keith, if you say that, it's not going to go well. Keith, if you go this way, it's not going to go well. And that's based on God. Now, based on me, I don't care. I'm going to say what I want to say. I'm going to speak my mind. And then I suffer for it. See the problem here? He clearly lets us know what is right and what is wrong. This is where this lens has to be used in every aspect of your life, or you're going to go the wrong way. So I have simply put, all things not done through faith are wrong. Once again, all things not done through faith are wrong. When he shows in Romans 14, verse 23, but the man who has doubts is condemned if he eats, because his eating is not from faith. And everything that does not come from faith is sin. Do y'all get that? See, he's not just talking about eating here. He's talking about not what it's based on. Okay? What it's based on. Let's talk about that basis and understand that basis. It's a very important part of what we do. Okay? So, God gave all of us this warning to recognize where we are and where we are going. Okay? And this is the one that's really shook me up and part, a very heavy part of the ministry that I got to put out, because he gave this warning that most don't take heed because they think it's not talking about them, even though he clearly lets them know. Watch what he says here in Matthew 7, 21 through 24. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. So immediately he's talking about those who sees Jesus as Lord, or at least says it. Okay? He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. So you got a lot of people who call Jesus Lord, who speak the Christian jargon, but he's saying a nice group of those, they're not going to heaven. He says, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, he just gave us the answer. So some may go, yeah, I'm doing the will. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior and I moved on. Well, wait a minute, because that's something that we've distorted over the years. It's something that I accept, which will show how I live. Do you get that? In other words, salvation is not just some statement I make. It's a lifestyle. It's a purpose of life. He says in verse 22, many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? And this is what's happening today. These people are having an emotional attack, but didn't I do what I was supposed to do? And he says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, evildoers. And these people, their hearts are broken because they meant well. But he still called them evildoers. Did you notice that? And then he breaks it down at the end of this. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, y'all catch this, and puts them into practice. That's the answer. That's the key. See, a lot of us do good, okay, based on. What is your good based on? That's why he says, those who hear these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Based on what is what you're doing based on? Purpose is foundation. Why are you doing it? This past year, I've seen people who were passionate over different protests. And it was clear who was wrong, and most are wrong. But in their minds, nope, I'm firm because I'm doing this and that. But what was it truly based on? Listen to them talk, and they'll tell you what it was based on. It's either based on my rights, based on my country, based on how I feel, based on those people over there, based on my family. All these things we may see as noble things, but there's only one right answer, because there's only one foundation. That's why we sing Solid Rock. In fact, look how he explains it here. He shows it that, simply put, we must do what he says. The based on can only be one foundation. Luke 6, 46 through 49 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? You got a lot of people that are doing stuff in his name, but he was like, I never told them that. I never told them to do that. See, in verse 47, he says, I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. Who's he talking about? Those who come to me, hears my word, puts them into practice, plain and simple. Too many times I see people, they'll hear some of the Bible, but then they run with what they have on their own, and they do good based on how they see it. They adjust and change things, and then they get mad when somebody still goes, nope, still evil. You're not doing exactly what he's telling us. See, he's giving the example. Watch what he says in verse 48. He said, he is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. He set the purpose. Christ is my purpose. He checks every step to make sure, why am I doing this? You'll see a big change in the things you do. When you do stuff for the poor, you'll see adjustments. When you deal with your family, you'll see adjustments. How you deal with your enemies, you'll see adjustments. You'll go through hard times, and when things don't seem like they're working out, you'll see adjustments. Why? Because your purpose is always right in front of you. Only thing you'll ask is, am I doing what he says? Yes. And you'll keep going. Praise God. See, right now, by sight, we go, God, I've been doing what you say, and I just don't see. Ah, that means you've been living for outcome, temporary outcome, and not the overall outcome. See, he goes on to say, when a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. The foundation is what defined that house. Watch what he says. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice. And this is the problem. You got a lot of churchgoers who run off and do it themselves. It's like a coach says, here's the play. This is the play. This is the play. This is the play. And then the player goes out there and does his own thing. And you get a lot of showboaters out there. And I've seen it growing up. I still see it on TV now. And what you get them, and they're great players, but they're horrible to play with. They hurt the team. There was a story that Michael Jordan went through all his years to break all these records and do all these things, but they could never get a championship. And then his coach said, so are you ready to win a championship? He said, yes, I am. And he basically let him know, you need to now follow me as the coach. And then he won six. See how that worked? Okay. He had to now listen to what he said and not go it alone. I think he thought, in my greatness, watch how great I am, and I'm going to get a ring. Didn't happen. You got to adjust. Even more so, he's saying, who hears these words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. He didn't take the time to really look at the base on. Why are you doing this? The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. In other words, I've seen people go out and try to help somebody and watch it collapse. And you can see tears in their eyes. But I did everything I could. Why did it collapse? Because you were doing it based on them. Wait, what's the matter with that? Because once again, there's only one true foundation. When I help others, it better be based on Christ. When I raise my family, it better be based on Christ. When I live my life, it better be based on Christ. Period. All other ground is sinking sand. If we are given the way, why do you keep going other ways? That's what he's saying. For those of you who don't want to be evil or be called evil, then just do what he says. Simply put, John 14:6 says, John answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Over and over again, I'll see people do stuff. And then when I talk to them later, they'll go, well, I thought, well, I felt, well, it seemed to me. And right there, they already blew it. Right? Where did you get this answer from? I thought, I felt, it seemed to me. Instead of, well, the Bible said. Do you understand that? See, now we're getting somewhere. Even when people misinterpret, we can now take them because at least they're trying from the Bible. But when I get the, I thought, I felt, it seemed to me, we already blew it because I don't hear Jesus in that. Because you want Jesus to sign off on you instead of you living by him. See, he gave this guidance to us in Matthew 7, 13 through 14. He first starts off with the answer, enter through the narrow gate. Narrow means it's going to be limited. That means the life you choose better be going into this limited life. What does that mean, limited? There's only one answer. Do y'all get this? And he makes, and then he gives us the answer in this one. He actually describes why he's given this answer. He's saying, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. This is why you get these people who, I guess, call themselves peacemakers, and you'll see them putting people like the Dalai Lama and Gandhi and, you know, people of other religions, Confucius, and they'll put them on this map and they say, these were peacemakers, these were lovers, and these were people that we all need to follow, and these were great men, and it all sounds great. The problem is, they weren't all Christians. They were going the wrong way. That's not me saying it. The Bible showed, and we just seen it in John 14:6. If Christ wasn't the path they were taking, they were going the wrong way. No matter what they felt. He was said, wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. Those people who want variety of good, you're still headed the wrong way. And he says, many enter through it. For that exact same reason, because they're going off of that feeling of, I think I'm doing the right thing. That intellect, well, it seems like I'm doing the right thing. That culture, well, our nation has always been doing the right thing, correct? And ignorance, I don't know, but it feels right. We allow these things to be our guide, and we're headed the wrong way. But he makes very clear in verse 14, but small is the gate, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. What's the shame here is not that it's hard to find, it's just that we don't find it. As many times as I've gone over and said all are evil, instead of us getting hurt by it, we would come to a person and say, help me find out why I'm evil. So I can readjust it. That's it. Not, I'm tired of hearing that I'm evil. See, right now you're being too insulted. You're going based off of your emotions instead of going off of, wait a minute. Right? The people I've seen that succeeded are those that hear a criticism and adjust. But the ones that fail, we hear a criticism and we get angry. We get insulted. What if what you're saying to me could be right? Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people that just say things to insult. You're absolutely right. But I check everything people say to me. And I'm able to clearly, through God, look at it and go, okay, I see where they're coming from. But when I just immediately go, how dare you? I can't believe you said that about me. I may be missing something that can help me adjust to go into the right way. So how can we not be wrong, no matter how it seems? How can we always go the right way? Well, first of all, humility and reverence in the Lord are a must. Now, if you notice, I stressed in the Lord because the world has its version of humility. The world has its version of reverence, and they're wrong, dangerously wrong. So it better be the ones that God's talking about because it's the only right definition. Proverbs 22:4 says humility and the fear of the Lord bring wealth and honor and life. Where most of us are failing, because what humility is God, you tell me where to go and I'll go. You tell me what to do and I'll do it, period. That's humility. See, worldly humility goes, but I'm capable of, and you're not using me for, and I've done a lot of training in, and I should be. You understand this? In other words, I consider me in it, but godly humility is fully in, you tell me where to go and what to do, and I'll do it. And then the fear part goes, and I'm going to make sure I do it, because I don't want to be wrong in you. And this is why we should raise our kids with that type of instruction. If I told you how to clean the room that way. Guide them to go the right way. Don't come up and see a messy room and go, oh, well, they did their best. And this is why in the workplace, you got managers and people who are struggling right now. You know, a company I work for, now they're readjusting times when you can come in. There's really not late because people come in differently. Okay, sounds great if they want to do it that way. But we keep being so wishy-washy, we being that wishy-washy with God, even though at our example, Jesus said, I do exactly what my Father tells me. Why are we not following his example? So humility and reverence, that's the first thing we have to have, and humility and reverence in the Lord. Then we have to mature. Maturity in the Lord is necessary. What tends to happen is people become Christians, then they hit the ground running. It's like after you have a baby, you throw them in the car and say, okay, drive. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? And not even just drive, you lay them out somewhere and say, okay, I need you to go to the grocery store and get the food you want, and I want you to get a job as soon as he's born. And this is what happens to Christians. Most of us need to stop and get instruction so it can get you out the way. Do you get this? Why do you say, or pluck their hands or move them out the way as they're growing up to teach them? Nope, that's wrong. Yes, that's right. Why do you adjust or should adjust their bedtimes and when they eat and when they cry? Just let them cry if they're trying to go off of what they want and learn off of what is right and wrong, because they have to learn to mature. And once again, our maturity in the Lord is necessary. Watch what he says in Hebrews 5:13-14. If I don't mature, I'm missing out on something he's showing here. In Hebrews 5:13-14, he says, anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, so we're going to start off an infant, he understands, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. Majority of Christians today are infants to the day they die. That means they never learn. And that's sad, because he says in verse 14, but solid food is for the mature, the understanding of why you keep going and what you're doing, who by constant use, we start just doing what he says, have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. It's very hard for me to explain to somebody why that good that they're doing is wrong, because it's like a child. As a parent tells a child, you're going wrong, and the child goes, but why? And you go, because, and you go into this detailed, mature answer, and they look at you, but why? Because they're going off of their immaturity, and they're lacking the understanding. So maturity is a must. So you spend time in your word, you spend time in godly understanding, not leaning on your own understanding. We're going to see that too, right? And then you apply. And as this process works, you mature. And as you mature, you'll start going, oh, I won't just go out and give to somebody who's homeless. I'll assess the entire situation, the entire situation. I won't just raise my kids on how it feels and what looks right. I assess, and all my assessments come through God. But that only happens as I mature. My children had to become a certain age before I would let them get behind the wheel of something that could literally kill many people. Think about that. So humility and reverence in the Lord, maturity in the Lord, and then we must recognize impurity causes misdirection. Now, here's the part that hurts, because teaching this point sometimes seem like we're going absolutely nowhere. Okay. It seems like that we're struggling with this process of impurity. Now, what exactly is impurity? Well, impurity is adding, and I have it as a little point after this, after Titus 1:15-16, I put a note there saying impurity is adding or taking away from what God says. Now, you have a lot of quote unquote scholars out there that people will take their commentary and do what they say despite what the word says. And the example I've always used is if you take water and add something to it, it's no longer pure. Now, if you know what you're adding to it and it's fine. But what he's saying to us is we never add or take away from his word. And if you're one that adds or takes away from the word, you're considered impure, period. I don't care how you mean or if you think. That means if I do something for somebody and it's not fully based on what he says, then I'm impure. So watch what he says about those who are pure and impure. And once again, I don't care if you think you are, he's telling us if you are. He says, Titus 1:15-16, to the pure, all things are pure. Stop for a minute. What does that mean? It means if I'm truly pure, I see it as God says it. Period. Now, how that works is I've seen Christians look at somebody that God says is evil. There's a verse that's clearly about before a person gets into a relationship, and he says, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. I've had many Christians, quote unquote, get with people who are not Christians, and they want me to go based on how they see it. Yeah, I know we're not supposed to unequally yoke, but this person's going to try. He really means well. He is a good person. Instead of going, nope, God said, I can't. The pure will allow all the emotions and feelings they have for this person to take a full backseat because they fully have to pass what he says. That's the pure. He's saying to the pure, all things are pure, but watch this. But to those who are corrupted, now corrupted means I'm adding or taking away, even a little bit, and do not believe, then he says nothing is pure. When he says nothing is pure, then I see things with or without. It says, in fact, both their minds and consciences are corrupted. They claim to know God, claim to know. In other words, yeah, I'm a Christian, but by their actions, they deny him. They are detestable, disobedient, and unfit for doing anything good. Now, here's the key to this. Most would hear this and get insulted instead of us going, oh, wait a minute. And I have to adjust my life. You have to adjust your life by watching a person. And when they do something that's outside of the Bible or not by sound doctrine or added to the Bible, you got to back off. Because remember, this person now is distorted. They're detestable. He says they're disobedient. They're unfit for doing anything good. I've seen that many times where people I wanted to work with, and then you see them going off this way or going off that way, and they're like, oh, here we go. Where's that at, man? This thing that you're doing, where's that at? No, sometimes you got to do this to make this work. Where'd you get that from? It's not in God's word. It's so frustrating. Because we all should be on the same page, and that's his page. Pure. Humility and reverence in the Lord. Maturity in the Lord. And pure. Just do what he says. And then, as you're going to get feelings, and I get it. This is a realist, and so is God. God fully understands what you're going to go through. He's saying, so you're going to go through some struggles because you're going to do what I say, and it's not going to seem right. You're going to struggle, and you're going to go through anxiety. He says, do this. Give all concerns to God, but do it the right way. Once again, do it the way he says. Some of us go, I pray, but he didn't change me. That's not what he said. Let's read what he says. And he gives clear instruction. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. What does he say? He says, do not be anxious about anything. Keyword, be. Be. You're going to feel anxious. I ain't going to lie. There's stuff in God's word that I feel struggle with. I go through it and I'm like, come on, God, I got to do what? I don't see anything changing them. That's how I feel. But my actions are responding to what he says. I will not be anxious. I will not be depressed. I will not be stressed out. Why? He says, because, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So I have to add these three elements. So prayer, take it to God. The thing that I'm struggling with, take it to God. Petitioning, lay your case out. Put everything out there. Now, one thing you'll notice if you petition correctly, you'll realize if it's not in God or if it is in God. You don't know how many times when I just talk something through with somebody and they hear what they just did, then they finally go, okay, yeah, that was selfish. Okay, yeah, it's what I have. Why don't we do that when we're talking to our Father? Lay it out. And the thanksgiving is thank you for even allowing me to present this to you. Thank you for the outcome that you're allowing me to go through. Thank you because I know you are right. Sometimes I don't live that way and I want to make sure that's what I'm doing. These three elements is what I bring to God to let God know I am truly 100% relying on you and you only. Do y'all get this? I'm just trusting in you and you only. That's what we need to do. That's what we must do. If not, we're setting ourselves up. Because look what he does. He says, with those three elements, present your request to God. That's how you do it. With those elements, make sure you're giving it to him. And he says, if you do this, then something will come of it. What is that something that will come of it? What will I get out of it? It says, and the peace of God. Remember, that's something that all Christians got because Jesus said, and I leave this with you, right? He says, and the peace of God, which does what? Transcends all understanding. Ah, it makes no sense, in other words. He'll give you a peace. This is only when I go in the right way for his peace. It'll transcend all what I understand. Doesn't make sense. It will guard my heart, which is my purpose, and my mind, which is my way to stay in the path of Christ, which is the way. Did y'all catch that? It'll keep me on the right path. He'll guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus. That's how you do it. Too many times we go to him with prayer, petition, and thanksgiving for us. We don't do it for him. We do it based on our outcome. We want him to change people based on how we see it. When you take all this packaged up, then you do it by living every step of your life trusting and acknowledging God, especially against self. People say, and I've said this many times, that this is my favorite passage in the Bible, but it was an eye-opening passage. It was a life-changing, something that really turned in my life. Proverbs 3, 5 through 7 really opened that up. It said, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the first part. And I had to notice that at that time I was not doing it. Because if I fully trust in him, it means, what did you say? I'm going to do it, clearly. But then there was another element I had to add. He says, and lean not on your own understanding. See, the understanding I do have is, let me make clear on what you want me to do, God. That's the understanding I have to have. The understanding I can't have is that, well, it doesn't make sense to me. So until it makes sense to me, God, I'm not doing it. And more people have that understanding, which is having no trust in God. They go against each other. You keep doing that, you're going to keep going the wrong way. That's why in verse 6, in all your ways, acknowledge him. So in everything that I'm doing, check with him. He's our true, always right GPS. Never has to recalculate. Do you understand? Because he's always right. So if I check with him in everything that I do, he will make your path straight. Not you thinking you're going in straight paths. Allow him to do it. So clearly, the only way that works, verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes. Sometimes we go out to life thinking we got this covered, instead of going out humbly going, all right, so God, what do I do next? And not what do I do next, thinking you're going to pray and he's going to speak to you a lot, because he speaks to us when we're in the Word. You'll immediately, through the Spirit, go through what you've studied, if you've been studying. If you've been studying to apply, and you do it in a way where it says, fear the Lord, that means I'm doing exactly what he says, shun evil, and nothing else. Altogether, you'll understand when you put all this together, it is not the what you do, it is the why and the how you do it. And it has to be in him. The why, I'm doing it for Christ. How, the way he tells me to do it. And in the end, the why and the how will dictate the what. And then you'll always be in the right. Let us pray. Dear most heavenly, most gracious Father, once again, we thank you so much for being the way. Now we just ask you to continually help us to encourage one another and to encourage ourselves, dear Lord, in you to stay in the right way. Help us to get rid of how we see and how we feel. Help us to stop going out and making matters worse. Help us to be gentle with those who may be going the right way and gently instruct them and guide them in the right way. There's so much hurt, so much pain going on out there, dear Lord. Most of it is because people are seeing things through their own eyes and they're trying to apply your name to it. So we ask you, dear God, whatever it may take to shake people up, to get them adjusted, do it. But allow us, dear Lord, to be led and to be totally guided by you in all that we do. Continual blessings on those who are struggling, those who have lost loved ones, those who are hurting, those who are sick, those who just are not getting it. Help us, dear Lord. All these blessings we ask in your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ's name, we say, amen.